I want you to think about Mary. More than likely, Mary was 13 or 14 years old. She was betrothed, probably in an arranged marriage many years before that. She was betrothed to Joseph. And Joseph probably was in his 30s. There's some evidence to indicate he'd been married before. She came from the right lineage in terms of the tribe of Judah. But she's just a teenage girl. She's younger than Angela. And yet, this momentous event is about to happen. This event which, I mean, in terms of timing now, if we're trying to empathize this, it's, you know, approximately a month away. Angela's a good one to pick on. Imagine Angela had just, say, in the last week, had been said that she was going to marry somebody that was 30, say, 35 years old, somebody she never knew, she never had met. I mean, imagine that. Like, it's hard to imagine Angela in that position. That's not a given. She'd go shoot him or something. But it is. I mean, imagine, because knowing that not to do that, she'd have to leave the community. I mean, imagine her fears and questions. And all of a sudden, all this stuff, the center point of all of history, the thing that everything that the stars pointed at, is about to take place within her. You can see why the Catholic Church, you know, they began the worship of the Virgin. And they claim that Mary was born, Mary's mother was, on and on back. But can you at least get a feel for this, for who and what Mary was?
They always portray her as being an older woman, and Joseph, the two of them being close in age.
I can prove that to you by scripture, but we'll do that some other time.
It's like it's almost trying to portray as respectable or reasonable, just,
Okay, remember, Christ's birth had to be predated by John the Baptist's birth. John the Baptist was the type of Elijah. He fulfilled the role and mission of Elijah in the New Testament, just as the preacher now fulfills the role of Elijah. So the Elijah persona has to be manifested before Christ is manifested. Always. That's why the foolishness of preaching men are saved.
So you prepare a way
for the Holy One of Israel to be born in you. Okay? All right. So this was written about 'd almost had to be written before the temple was destroyed, because nothing in Luke is about the destruction of the temple. But anyway, so that's.
But none of the apostles knew Mary or Joseph, because they were all too young, right? They were born when Christ was 20.
The apostles were, no, the different apostles, like the oldest one was Judas, the second oldest was Matthew. They were considerably older than the rest of them were teenagers.
Luke wasn't older too. Luke was older too.
Luke wasn't an apostle.
Oh yeah, okay.
Luke was was a Greek Jew, a physician in Alexandria, who had come to Jerusalem for the to return the lands because it was the Jubilee year. And he got captured, never returned. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Now, there were literally hundreds of gospels within, say, 20 or 30 years after Christ. Everybody had a gospel. A whole lot of them have been saved. I've got it. I've probably got 50 of them. And they have, they're the most fanciful things. You know.
Like conspiracy theories.
Yeah. All right. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, who's Theophilus? He's the bishop of the church.
Is that where theology comes from?
No, Theo is just, this is Theophilus. They used to give each other new names when they became believers. And this was, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the house of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before. Now, what is it? Let's see this first. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and remember there are 24 courses of priests. The highest course, well, one of them, just about the highest course, was what he was about to do, the altar of incense. His job was to light the altar of incense. He had to take the coals that were covered in the blood from the fire of the burnt altar, carry them carefully so that none would drop, inside the holy place, and light the altar of incense.
Wow, and his son would be John.
That's why I'm telling you this.
Cool.
And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, I've talked in here about there were 144,000 priests in the temple.
24 courses.
Were separated into the 24 courses or jobs, and that represents the 24 offices in the body of Christ.
Some of them did nothing but pick bugs out of the wood.
That's right.
Now it's John.
What you guys did?
Back then.
That's not the top course.
That's not the top course.
That's not
one of the higher orders.
Not the top shelf.
They weren't the back door of the temple.
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, they cast lots. Do you understand that?
And the unlucky one to go in.
Can you imagine? No. No, it's considered a high honor. But I want to show you something here. This angel, Gabriel, is going to strike him dumb. He can't speak because he asked a question. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. Now, this was a big deal when they went in to burn the incense. And the Levites and the priests gathered. with this ceremony, because it was the second most important ceremony in the temple. The first most important was going in on the Day of Atonement. The second was the lighting of the altar of incense. Do you remember why the sons of Aaron were killed?
Fire.
They started the fire in the altar of incense with coals that weren't from the brazen altar, and they were killed instantly for that.
Like backdraft.
You understand why?
Well, you just said that the coals were
covered in the blood. So that's why, you may think I'm full of shit, but the altar of incense within you is your thoughts. And that's why it's so vital to see that all thoughts must originate in the blood or you die. That's how you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen? It's dangerous to say amen to that one.
I remember the night over on what would first study that strange fire deal. Everybody left going,
yeah.
Well, was the other one where they tied the rope around their ankle?
That was on the Day of Atonement. Okay, so he goes in, and what's in, who can remember what's in the holy place?
Table of showbread, candlestick. Altar of incense.
Aaron's rod.
Huh?
Aaron's rod.
No, that's in the Holy of Holies. Right. Okay. This the holy place is the first entrance. And in that is the table of showbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense. And you go inside the next entrance, and then there is the altar. The Ark, or the Covenant, and inside the Ark is Aaron's rod, pot of manna, and tables of the law. And on top of that is the mercy seat. On top of the mercy seat are the two cherubim. Okay? That's why. And the space between the two cherubim inside the Holy of Holies is called the Oracle of God. And that's why it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the Oracle of God. You speak from only that place, sitting on the mercy, not seeing it, you're on that mercy seat under the wings of the cherub. See, otherwise, you get into all this crap. I mean, in every place, in every generation, in every society, there's something righteous out there, right? There's some righteous dude, some righteous program, some righteous thing. Don't you see? It's all horseshit. That's why you must be seated on this mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim. That's where you live.
Are those the ones that are spinning? Or what's?
It's just another picture. But these wings are the overshadowing wings, the wings they're the wings of protection. That's why anytime you feel that you need protection, you don't go try to protect yourself, you go read the 92nd Psalm. It talks about being under the wings of the Most High. All right. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. It says that so casually, like an everyday occurrence. Can you imagine what's your response? You walk in there, you're real excited because you're doing this last priestly duty, and you walk in, and there's, oh shit. I mean, this guy.
The big one.
Nobody ever told me about this.
How do we know he looked any different than anybody else?
Well, first of all, there's nobody else in there.
You can't.
They're not sure.
First of all,
and lives.
And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. I love this, the way they translate it. And fear fell upon him.
What is
pants? It wet his
pants. And yeah. He defiled the holy place.
He became quickly incontinent. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." He was one of the four Nazarites from birth. In all of the history of the world. Anybody remember who they were?
Samson.
Daniel.
Not Daniel.
Daniel. David.
No. How quickly we forget. Mm-hmm. "And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of..." That's why, see, this New Age crap says that the Bible teaches reincarnation, because it says here that he's in the spirit of Elijah.
You said Elijah, but it says Elias.
It says Elijah in my Bible. Elias and Elijah are the same. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That's the only role of a preacher from now on and ever. When Zechariah, no, watch this. "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this?
You're lying.
For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." He was impotent, and his wife was barren.
We've heard this before.
"And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Now what does that teach us? The mystery of God is going to go on in spite of your unbelief. You may suffer, but the mystery of God is going to go on. So get with the program.
Yeah, the mystery of God is dependent on the fact that he's an old man while stricken in age.
That's right.
And the fact that we're done is because he made us that way. So that, like we talked about, if I'm crazy, I'm God's crazy.
Right.
If I'm dumb, I'm God's dumb.
Right. Now he was... Okay, that's enough for now. We just got to get to Mary. Okay. "And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." Do you understand that in ancient Israel, really, really bad for a woman not to have a child. Okay?
Say that again.
It was very bad for a woman not to have a child, a married woman not to have a child. "And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, what does Mary mean?
Bitter.
Trouble, bitter. Mara.
Oh, that's what Ruth said. Or not, Naomi said.
Naomi.
Call me Mara.
Call me Mary. Because out of, and what is the same reason? From out of her came Messiah.
The waters of parable.
And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, tradition says that it was the same angel. It was Gabriel again. And it just wasn't mentioned here because people would assume that it would be the same angel that came to. I wish I knew more about these. There's how many archangels are?
Seven.
I really, really wish I knew more about the archangels. What I would really like to do is do a really in-depth study of the archangels, just to scare the pants off of Harry.
Just talking about it makes me scared. just seeing his name scares me.
Look at this. I found this great book on angels that does this guy did a research on. I mean, everything that was written about angels and what the theories were and.
You have that book?
Yeah. Great book. I wish you borrow, but I'll trade you one.
Go for two.
No, it is. It's a great book. With all the archangels and the core, and the ones that goes out.
Yeah, I'd settle for one
the
archangel.
Bad angels and the score.
Go for all the Talmud.
Go for the whole Talmud. Shut up. She didn't need any help from you. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
What does favor mean there? What did she do to find favor? Is that, I mean, was it?
She was the right place at the right time.
So when the angel said, and shall call his name Jesus, she heard Yeshua. That
means, Yeshua.
So she knew what that meant.
Yeah. Jesus, the word in deliverer, savior.
This one, she went, oh my God.
He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Just think here. Why the angel didn't smack her around?
Yeah, that's why I was
here. She didn't question whether he was telling the truth or not. She just asked, how's it going to happen?
Well, same thing. It was still a question. Why didn't the angel smack her around?
Because she was going to be the vessel.
That's right, because not even the angels are allowed to touch us, just as they were not allowed to touch Mary. It's the idea that it's the same as the emperor thing. If you broke something, somebody else got spanked.
So it's if you're a vessel of wrath, and it's discarded, but if you're a vessel of mercy, you can't be touched.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd be black as day.
That's a good thing to know.
Well, now, he just struck, what's his name?
Dumb. Yeah.
So,
he was only a friend of the bride.
That's the best he could be?
That's the best he could be. Can you hear this?
Favored.
Highly favored.
Yeah.
Okay. We are at this mysterious place where Mary questions the angel and nothing happens to her. And Zechariah questioned the angel and was struck down.
So she basically could have said, go to hell.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Bite me.
The truth is, she could have kicked him in the, between the big toes, she could have kicked him in the kneecaps, and he could have done nothing to her. Understand? A little bit. And these are the big guys.
The ones that kill hundreds of thousands.
187,000 Gabriel killed.
One whack.
In one battle.
In one. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Why did she have to be a virgin?
Seems obvious, right?
Hmm?
It really seems obvious because the seed had to be pure.
The seed had to be pure. The seed had to have been totally encased in the blood. There could have been no possibility that any part of the womb
had been defiled
by a man's cock. Excuse me.
No, oh, lady.
That's what it's going to take.
No, but it's this. That's the reason that premarital sex is to be avoided. It's because the same way that Joseph couldn't get his dick in the way.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, really?
That's two of them.
Well, that's the truth. It's the only way. This is the only. I mean, I'm serious. This is the only way. How, what are you going to tell some? I could. If,
well, there is medical terminology.
His penis. Yeah. Yes. He couldn't get his penis in the way.
You have to use vulgarities. Excuse me. Oh, you never heard.
Okay. He couldn't get his Johnson in the way. Okay. You feel better?
He gets a Willie in the way.
What? You feel better?
We need politically.
That's right.
Political correct answers.
Right. Couldn't get the Willie in the way.
We are probably the least politically
free
correct.
Free Willie.
Does everybody understand it?
How could we not?
Why? So to speak. God. Father, forgive them.
Damn.
Yeah.
Why'd you chew all forgive them?
Yeah, and that's like the thing about later when he talks about John and he says, of those born of man,
there's none greater,
right? Because he was born, his father is his father. His father was the priest. But in this case,
father was God.
There's
a huge difference. We're talking major difference.
The females were the same.
But that's why, from the standpoint of preaching, there's none, I mean, you may not believe this, but there of them born of man, there is none greater than one that preaches. I mean, it's the highest calling there is. There's nothing that even touches it. Understand that a little bit? Everything else is fuel and vain. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now I want each of you to understand that that same experience is about to take place in terms of what we're studying in Hanukkah in you. That's why Paul says, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Forever and ever, you try to live by faith in Christ. And now you live by the faith of Christ. Two different worlds. Behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. You know, you go on and on about that, but I don't know. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Now she had said, instead of, okay, let it be, because she couldn't have refused it, could she?
Sure.
Oh, I think so.
We could write manuals on whether or not she could have. We'd have to eventually answer the question of election.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit won't bother.
Wouldn't we have to ask the question of whether or not God would rape a little girl?
Maybe that's what the favor, what that meant when she was favorable, or she found favor.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't. The point of it is, he wouldn't have
elected her in the first place.
There had to be within her a sense of all of the stuff that is necessary for us to become a believer. All right? And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
It's pretty amazing to think of, here's Elizabeth, I mean, who's old and barren, and here comes Mary skipping along, you know, 13, 14. But there's a definite connection.
Yeah. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know, so, I mean, the idea is that it's that kind of humility. Think about that. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, and this is what they call the Magnificat. Let's go to Matthew a minute. Just keep your hand there. I want to go to Matthew and show you something. Some people have said that Matthew is like a uniquely male perspective. Luke is more the feminine perspective or feminine side in terms of its writings. Let me show you. This is a description it doesn't talk about, in Matthew, it doesn't talk about the angel visiting Mary. It only talks about the angel visiting Joseph. In the verse, chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, you got to stop a minute. You remember under the law, if they're engaged, they're legally as if they're married. Joseph is a, you know, respectable man. And his bride turns up pregnant. Can you imagine what's going on in his head? Yeah, but I mean, we don't have to wonder. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, just meaning just in terms of the law, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, or to cause the divorce to happen silently.
Yeah, but there's no question it's a divorce.
Yeah. And while he thought on these things, you never hear about this one. I mean, and behold, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, or God in us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, you know, we just went through the wedding here, right? What would have happened if in the midst of the betrothal, Tylene showed up pregnant? Huh? No, just think about it. And she's telling you that it was the Holy Ghost that did it.
And Tylene would be one to say that.
Try to feel what it would have done to that community. How could this have been dealt with?
Kept a secret.
I don't know. We don't know. We have no idea what happened and how they dealt with it, but we know enough about how we live in community to know that it would have been a huge, huge problem. They had to do something.
She
would have been, terribly shunned.
Well, wasn't he slept to some workers? I mean, we don't ever hear anything else about it. Does that have anything to do with this?
I don't think so.
Well, on the other side, in the rest of the family, Elizabeth is a big deal, right? Her husband is a big deal. And she's the one saying it, not Mary. It's a secret. Mary comes to her, she's only just gotten pregnant. And Elizabeth is the one who announces it.
Well, I just want you to try to see that it's a big deal. Okay? I don't know how. There's nothing written about how it was dealt with except that it was confirmed by Elizabeth and but Zechariah couldn't say anything because he can't talk.
And we don't know how much from when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary to when she married Joseph. We don't know what that time span is there.
And then the Holy Ghost was not freely given, right? The idea that a woman would be filled with the Holy Ghost wasn't that a huge deal.
Yeah, because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given for 400 years.
So here's Elizabeth all of a sudden speaking out.
Where did we just end in Luke? Oh, the Magnificat. Verse 46, chapter 1. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good tidings, and the rich he has sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and then returned to her own house. So that's significant. I'd forgotten that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. It doesn't say anything about when they were actually, when the wedding ceremony happened.
But it happened, so she had to be pretty late term, man.
Hmm?
You would think she'd be late term.
Yeah, she was. It would, when she first went in, it was at the beginning. Boom.
Wasn't it after they're married?
No.
Okay. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And that's important to understand, that you're always named after your father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they would have, and they made signs to his father how he should have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard them laid them to their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And that was, they're talking about John.
See, it also seems weird that Elizabeth would be pregnant, and here Zechariah, who would be the one to answer the questions, would be like the head of the house, couldn't say anything.
Yeah, but it's also interesting that the one that's famous and the one that everybody's talking about is John. Paying attention to John.
And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, see, this is, you got it, from the time of Malachi until the time of now, it's been 400 years, and the Holy Ghost has not come upon anyone during this period of time. It was the dead period of Israel. And now the Holy Ghost first came upon, first visited, apparently, Elizabeth, or Zechariah.
Well, so did the people know that that's what was wrong with Zechariah?
They probably tried to tell him, but, you know, who knows? It would just be speculation. But so now this is Zechariah's prophecy. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which we swear to our fathers, to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give a knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sin through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Love that. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, if you think about it, the day of Hanukkah is the 25th day of the month of Kislev, which is our December. So from 25 December to 25 January is 1 month. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. So the birth had to come at around the 25th of September, which just happens to coincide with Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Now, this may surprise you that no one else that I know of teaches that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Hanukkah. We are the only one, to my knowledge, in the entire world that celebrate that feast for that purpose. Which I think is rather interesting.
What about that he was born on Rosh Hashanah?
Nobody else celebrates that either. Well, that's not true. Some suspect it, but scholars, not a community.
In this verse 80, he waxed in strong spirit. It says he was in the desert. So John lived in the desert with his eating locusts and stuff until he was how old? Till he came out?
Till he was
30 or?
Just he would have been 6 months older than Christ.
So
Christ,
he was baptized at around 30, wasn't he?
Christ, yeah.
So he lived in the desert that whole time.
Says he lived in the word desert there just means uninhabited places. He didn't live with people.
Yeah.
So he wasn't polluted by thoughts or theory at the time.
Well, he was filled from the Holy Ghost from the
womb. Yeah, it's pretty unique.
Pretty wild. He was born again before he was born again.
He was born again before he was born.
Born first.
He was born again before he was born.
Right.
Anybody have any other? Let's take a big guy.